This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Let's pray. Begin to pray for this direction on community service. One of the things that has been so clear in my spirit is that the Lord wants to show us the way home and wants to have home with us. I just sense that cry, strongly. And I'm trusting that the desire of God for each and every one of us will be accomplished. We are talking about homes and households, and be sure that you belong to one, even if, whether naturally or spiritually, can you talk to the Lord that the Lord will show you the way home, that the spirit of wandering will all be delivered from it. The Lord will find home in us. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We give you praise. Lord, we've come again. It's another time for blessing, another time for you to minister to us, to push us forward. Lord, you have steered this direction. You have led us in this direction to look into the matters of our households, to have an insight into your heart when it involves our homes and households. Father, we ask that you will help us. Open our eyes to see. Show us, Lord. Give us eyes. Give us eyes to see. Give us wisdom to interpret these things, the strength and the grace for us, for these things to be found in our homes and our households, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us come home. Help us come home. Let us find home in us, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for help. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for grace. We thank you for a repentant heart. We thank you for your heart that we align, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for strength for my physical body, that, Lord, you will quicken my body for to be able to stand this time and minister. You will help me. You will bless my thoughts, my inspiration. Cause me to follow you, in the name of Jesus. And grace me. Help me not to speak over your servants, your children, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You who is the head of the church, we just discern your authority that is in the church. We discern the authority and we acknowledge all the ministers, seen and unseen, that are here. We ask for help, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, last week we started on Love Seals, Home and Household, and we saw a whole lot. We repented. Even me, I was repenting. And we are still going to repent. Because something about the beauty in God's word is that the Lord always churns out standards for us. And we thank God, because one of the things we saw last week was that the issue of home is not something that man wished himself. It was actually an agenda of God. And that was what has been in their mind, that God will find home with man. Amen. That God will find home what? With man. Many of us, we have not done family life well. And we can't do it well because we don't have judgment. I'm telling you, the reason why some of us misbehave, even in our natural family, is because we don't have understanding. You know, many of us resent our family. Many of us resent our family life. Many of us resent, you know, all the formation, the process, and everything in the family life. You know, when you have a mind like that, it just shows that you don't understand the mind of God. The reason why, like I said, they didn't open heaven and started dropping souls down. Adam and Eve are the only people that were created as adults. Every other person, even our Lord Jesus, was born into a family. He was born into a family. His lineage could be traced. His family life could be traced. Man was not created to have a solitary life. Man was not created to be homeless. This week, as I was just waiting and praying in my spirit, one of the things the Lord exalted in my heart was that, you see that
One of the things that Satan did was Satan took home from man. Satan made man a wanderer. God's people, the way the Holy Ghost painted it to me was very funny. To show us that our hearts, man's heart, within man, there's wandering and homelessness. Is it not homelessness when you say you're having devotion and your heart has gone somewhere else? That's a wandering spirit. It's a wandering spirit that will not make your heart to be in a place. You understand? It's a wandering spirit. The enemy has done this. You know, when we looked at Cain, when they said Cain left the presence of God, and one translation said, he wandered away. You know, there's something called wandering lost. Have you met some people that they are just wandering up and down? You know, Satan is a wanderer. You know, when Job chapter 1 in KJV, Job 1, 7, just to tell you that when we say that when it comes to wandering, one thing that Satan has made man to do is to create man to be without home, to be without that knowledge. Look at what Satan was telling the Lord. See what he was telling the Lord. He said, whence thou comest? That's the Lord was asking. He said, look at the answer of Satan. May this not be our answer. That's, look at it now. From going what? To and fro. And what? Up and down. May we not be like that. Our soul not be, I'm just going to and what? And some souls have perfected to and fro. They have perfected to and fro. And some of them might say, hey. You know, to and fro is not that you're moving from Lagos to Aba, or to from Aba to Enugu, Enugu to Gwandu, or you know, you might, your choices, you can be going to and fro. There's no stability. Because one thing about home is stability. You know, one translation, I think it was the Amplified, said, from Gwandu over the course of the earth, you can see that Satan is a wanderer. He has no rest. He has no home. He's just, you know, as he's going, he's just checking and measuring people, souls that like him. Satan knows how to take a soul and move a soul about. He knows how to. God's people, please know it. Sometimes, if you don't know it, some things that are worrying us, it's good you know that the origin of it is adversary, satanic. Please, when we are talking Satan, don't always think Satan of Ojuju Calabar. Please, don't think Satan in terms of magical. Think it in terms of things that are actually his properties, his things. When they say devil and Satan, many people's mind just go to, you know, suddenly somebody just disappear or see a strange bird. And you know, no. When the adversary is advancing somebody, he wants to take everything that a person holds dear and actually change the person and give him another identity. So I'm saying that, you know, there's a spirit, and I need to say this, that one of the spirit of the age is a vagabond spirit. One of the spirit of the age is ability not to stay put in a home. When you are hearing that marriages are breaking, it's a spirit of wandering. When a man will think that his wife cannot satisfy him, is this spirit of going up and down. Because home, Satan, like I said, is a home breaker. Satan breaks home. Satan breaks fellowship. Satan brings any resemblance that brings home. He breaks it and he knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. You know, and how to do it. Many times he does not fight externally. He fights with the things that of his things inside man. Impatience. So that was one of the things we said. And last week we mentioned a whole lot about, you know, different households. You know, somebody was saying, he didn't know that we had so much household. There are even many more that was not mentioned. Like we said, they were just examples of houses. That when scripture looks at, you know, family, scripture looks at what? Houses. When scripture is looking at salvation, he's not looking at salvation for a man. Satan glorifies superstars. God raises company. Satan raises stars. You know, just raise one, you know, a star. You know, and that's why there's always a war of who is the next star. You know, see this, even the next star. But God does not do things like that. God works in, even angels arrange according to companies. Please, if you know this, if we know this as a very intricate nature in God, there's a way it will caution you in forwardness. There's a way to caution you in wanting to stick out like that. There's a mind you can carry that you belong to a family. That when you go somewhere, the concept of family, as the world came into more darkness, the concept even naturally was lost. Before, when somebody goes, they will ask you which family ile wo lo ti wa. They say ile la man wo kato somo lo ruko. That is, we look at your house before we name you, and that is from your house we know the kind of a person you are. family life, even on the natural earth, was that strong. That when people see some nature, in fact, they will tell you that you are a bastard because what you are doing is it is not in line with your family lineage. That's one thing that culture, natural culture alone, cannot hold family life. And that's why, because natural culture is not seated on, is not seated on God. Hallelujah. Because we must know that when it comes to family life, the real family man, gongong, is God. There was one thing I also wanted to add. When we are saying that reflective insight from homes, one of the things we mentioned that, you know, when you are part of an household, there's salvation that you partake of generally. There's also, you know, the place of instruction, the place of training, the place of learning, the place of being taught obedience. There's also the place of, you know, sharing pursuits, purposeful pursuits, receiving instruction, raising children, taking away idols. From being in a home, some things leave you. Sure, you know. You know, there are some people that, if you're an adult, if you're an, I'm sorry, mature people, there are some people you know, they will say that they did not apply heat and eat to his bum bum. Meaning that he was not trained with, is the truth. One thing, you know, sometimes, in recent time, you know, with a large company, one of the things I began to see, sometimes when people want to get impatient with some of their bread, I would say, oh, I've come to see that not everybody had good upbringing. And it's not an insult. And it's good you know it. That your upbringing might be tampered with and is actually showing faults even in your ability to continue much in God. It's good you know it. You know, there's some upbringing that there was nobody on your case. You slept at the time you wanted. You heard what you wanted. No mommy shouting. Nobody. And you know, there's some children that were raised. When you come to church, they are the people that many times create attitude. No, the behavioral problem. That behavior will not even allow you settle to learn and grow. So that's the first thing we will first deal with. It's true. When you are lazy, it's true. There's no, it's not an insult, okay? But it's a good thing for you to know. You know, when the only thing you can do, they told somebody to switch off gas. It was blowing the gas. He said, ha. Why are you shouting? If we do the test now, some of us don't know. Don't shout, oh. There's no need to be. You know, this is household meeting. What do they call it? In household meeting, you see yourself and you see that you need help, okay? Because these things are intricate things that will not allow a forward movement. I always tell people in my house that the things you do in the natural, it bears witness to how you are in the spirit. You know, this ability that maybe you are living in a place and something is out of place and you just walk past it and you don't see it. You know, you don't see it. There's a broom on the road. There's a shoe on the road. You know, you walk past and you don't see it, not because you are doing it wickedly. Honestly, I understand that it's not intentional. But one thing I see is that I say, this is how works of darkness, you miss it. Totoni. When you are not thorough, when you can't pay attention to details, that is how some details of your life, you can overlook it. It's true. I'm telling you, it's true. You know, it's just like some people not knowing how to sweep. You sweep the sitting room. Somebody just lifts the chair. And you see, and you know, you just pause. That is how some people cleansing of sins is like. It's facial. So when Jesus was saying, you know, some people outside, they are clean inside. So I'm just trying to say that, you see those things, some of the things we learn at home, it shows. If you see somebody who has tenacity, don't be surprised if the training they gave the person is not to give up. There's some people, when you see them, they don't give up. And when it comes to their own self, they don't give up. You know, when if you are somebody that every time they've always corrected you, you always answer back, you won't do well with instruction. Actually, destruction is just ahead of you. Mommy has been saying this thing. Daddy has been saying this thing. It looks like you have cotton wool. You know, you can also train yourself to be hard of hearing. Don't some of us do it? Mommy is calling. Oh, what? And you totally, you know that way you are beginning to be deaf. So household, so we said household, you learn instruction, place of nourishment, a place of care and responsibility, deliverance. You are not supposed to. Things should not happen to any one of us. When we are a member of a household, then collective submission. There was something I feared to also had. Job was also, there was a hedge. Say hedge. The Bible says in Job, you know, he said the Lord has placed a hedge around Job, his household, and the things he owned. You know, so when you are in a household, some of the hedge you are enjoying not be your own. Some protection. You know, some people you can feel like, you know, fit. It's because of where you are, your placement. He said, have you not placed a hedge? Are you understanding? Around Job, his things, and his household. About him, about his house, about all the things, at on every, on what again? Every side. Scripture was very clear. As a household, there's a hedge that you enjoy. You see, these people, they could enjoy it as long as Job was standing in his office. You know, when the Lord gave permission and that hedge, you can see that the children, they didn't have nothing. Because when conversations higher than them occurred, nothing. So today we are looking at what is a home. One thing that I think every dictionary defines a home is like, a home is a place where a person, a family, or household lives. Usually, their what? Residence. This is dictionary meaning, no? It is the center of domestic affection and belonging. A home is where we feel most what? Comfortable, loved, secure, and protected. The place we truly feel at ease. This one is dictionary what? Meaning. So when you say home, a home, we see it as a place. We also see it as a center. We also see it as, you know, a place that allows communion. Now, the first thing I want us to note is this. Firstly, what are the attributes we need to look at into a home? A home is not a physical house. A house is a physical structure. But when we talk about a home, it goes beyond bricks. It goes beyond walls. You may own many houses, yet you don't have a true home. You can be a house owner. You know, they say home owner, not lie. The real word is house owner. You can be a house owner and actually you don't have a true home. Because when we are talking about home, it is a living reality. It is experience. It's not merely by the body, but by your spirit and by your soul, by your spirit. And it is that part that makes that we feel, you know, sense and connect deeply with. Did you hear me, God's people? So when we are saying a home, we are not only talking about where your body dwells. We are talking about where your soul dwells. There was something the Holy Ghost was emphasizing to me. He said in a home, the two aspects of the soul of man must be involved. Can we say that together? In a home, the two aspects of the soul of man must be what? His heart and his mind. The heart and his what? You know, you can say that my heart is with you, right? I can say that my heart is with my husband. But my heart being with my husband, must the proof of it is the exercise of expression that I find in my mind. That's why you can hear some women or men say that I feel alone in this marriage. Their hearts might be there that, oh, I'm married. I'm a married person. But when it comes to mind, because your mind is the window of your soul. It is what you relate with, you know, what you hear. But living in a home, your heart and your mind must be present. That your heart and your what? Mind must be what? And to my single sisters, please, I am not talking about your futuristic home. My single sisters and brothers. Because I feel some people might be looking like, oh, does it? Is anybody living on a tree here? Yeah? Is anybody living under the bridge here? Yeah? Because under the bridge itself is a home. Somebody can be under the bridge and yet is at home. And somebody can be on a tree, yes, is at home. Because home is where your heart is. So what lives in the home is his soul. What marries, for an instance, a marriage is your soul. Your spirit is married to Jesus. But what the married people, what is in their, what is living in their, is soul. It's our souls and our bodies. Amen. And you know, just to buttress this, can we read Luke 9:61 together? Just to show that there's a difference between a house and a home. He says what? Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home, at my what? At home, at my what? So every house must become a home. Please, if all you have is a house, you have not done well. Because if you cannot build a home without, how will you build a home for your Lord? If all the Lord has access to is this your physical body, not yet a home inside of you, you have not done well. So a house is a building, very, very clear. And we must know that when it comes to home, God expects a home from every one of us. Now, a home is spiritual. It is an habitation, an abode that is spiritually what? Formed. Please, can we have an eye that your home is spiritual? A home is spiritual. It is shaped by the character, condition, disposition of the souls within it. The atmosphere of a home reflects the nature of its members. A peaceful soul cultivates a peaceful home. A contentious and troubled heart creates unrest. The quality of a home is determined by the spiritual health of its inhabitants. So every home has a cloud. Have you heard when people say positive energy, negative energy? You know, there's some homes. I don't know if it happened that you come into, maybe your husband and wife, you have proxy, and they were not arguing in front of you, but you just come in, maybe right after something happened, you didn't know. You know, there's a way you just notice that the air around here is tensed. Have you entered a home and it looks like you are not a prophet, but you can know that, something is wrong in this home. You understand? It's the souls. There's agitation, there's tension. There can be malice in a home. There can be so much bitterness in a home. I don't even know how people do that. How a home will be so malicious. You know, you go to some sister's room, you can sense malice in the air. Ah, yes. You will relate with them. It's like ice block wall against this one. Because people, you see those conditions. Your soul as a believer was not conditioned for it. The soul that were conditioned, the souls that are going to hell. You know, a hellish soul is okay for them to dwell in a malicious home. You see that atmosphere in a home is substance of hell. Substance of death. Those are the things one is important. Hallelujah. And you would think this is ordinary. There are spirits that govern atmosphere. It is the spirits that you keep giving, responding to, that governs your atmosphere. If all you have is unforgiveness, you know, sometimes you're so, I think some people have mind though, that you want to sleep and you are not afraid that you will just not wake up again. When husband and wife fight, there's a demon in between both of them. You know when one will take one side of the bed? There's one demon that is the one stretching in between them, saying that I would rather take the place. Proverbs 21:19. Can we read it? He said, it is better to dwell where? Than with a what? An angry woman. This is a manner of a home. A contentious home. Amen. You know when you say, you know, it is better. Proverbs said that it is better to dwell there. You can also have blissful home. God wants every home to be peaceful. I saw this scripture, Isaiah 32:18. He said, and my people shall dwell where? Habitation. And in sure what? And in quiet what? So God is not looking for a home that is bag, bows, bag, bag. You know, there's a home. What wakes you up is noise. What they sleep with is noise. The only time that home is quiet is because the bodies of the souls there are sleeping. You know, somebody was saying that there was a place she lived that she can't open the window of their parlor because what wakes them up is curses. Though I learned that there are some tribes that cursing is normal, but that's not correct. That's not correct. Because you can see that God said he wants a peaceable what? Habitation in what? Sure dwell in quiet and what? Resting place. Please, in a home, if you have dagger and you have hammer, you shield it. You know one of the things somebody said? He said many of us, we have weapons of warfare as a believer, but we use it on ourselves. Face the enemy. Use the dagger to stab the enemy out of your home. Not to stab somebody. Contention. He said it is better to dwell in the... There's even another one in this same Proverbs 20. That it's better to dwell on the rooftop. You know, are you understanding? So you can say that dwelling. When you talk about dwelling, the home is dwelling. And then another thing we want to say is that a home is an abode. Say abode. And just like our body requires shelter, our body requires clothing, the inward man too needs a dwelling. A covering from the harsh reality of what? Of the heart. A true home is where your soul can rest. Matthew 11:28. He says what? A true home must be able to give rest. Say rest. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you what? You see, this rest is home. So God is a master of giving. Say rest. I am speaking that are there homes that are here that a soul cannot rest in? I pray that the Lord will begin to turn it around. You know, the reason why some husbands don't come home is because there's a contentious woman waiting at home. The reason why some men will finish work and will first go to a club or go to a hangout is because the home is contentious. And some women boast in it. You don't understand? So women boast in that ability to make a house. Ha-ha! What kind of ability is that? You don't have ability to bring peace. You know, there are some things people should say and they should be ashamed. That if you know, that's to tell you that a soul knows how to put things, to make things hot. You should never, as a married person, whether you are married or you live in a home, and going home is a burden. You don't understand? When you are going home, it's like, hey, motutin lole. Whether you are living with an household, please, I am speaking to all the leaders of a household, all the leaders of home, wives, husbands. Your home must be a place that people love to come to. It must be a refuge. The reason why God gave permission for the coupling, either in marriage or for brotherhood to dwell together, is that people can find solace. People should not run away from your home. Please, if you have that tendency, it is hellish. The tendency that Jesus has placed in us, John 14. Imagine when Jesus said, if anyone loves me and keeps my commandment, my Father and I will come to you. If your soul is hellish, do you think they will come to you? Our home is a place where they can tabernacle. Do you know that some unanswered prayer is because the place is too hot for angels to stay? Your unanswered prayer, angels cannot stay in a place that has strife, whether married or not. You don't know that there are some things that will not equally work. There are some doors, it will jam lock. It's not that they just close the door. They jammed it and padlock it because the atmosphere is very contrary. The reason why in some homes, let me tell you, sometimes, and please, in our company, you must know it. Sometimes when children start falling sick, check your atmosphere. Check out when there are diseases. Everybody is just falling. Check what is happening. Is love in this home? Because you see, your home, Lassa, that people come into your home is healing. That people, you go into a home. Our home should be a home that when people step in, whatever is wrong with them, it just looks like they have found rest. You have no minister though. But the atmosphere meaning that the commandment, things that are being held, love is a weapon. Atmosphere that angels can minister. The angels in the household are just ministry. Please, tendency to make things hot. You need to cry. This is a real issue where you can go to real. Okay, you are permitted to. When people are not comfortable around you, when the things that you churn out are things that make... No, when people are uneasy around you, it's not a good nature. When you are contentious, it's not this nature. I'm telling you, this nature and not the nature of God. And we cannot be talking about God is raising a people and we are keeping such nature. There should be peace. There should be joy. There should be laughter. Now that in a home, people cannot laugh. People cannot play. People are not losing up in your home. They are just uptight. Because that's why our homes, we are saying, it's not about rules and regulation. Don't do this. We don't do that. Are there guidelines? Are there things? Yes. But however, people must have liberty. That's one of the first principles in our homes. Amen. I also wanted to also say this. That if anyone loves me, he will do what? Keep my word, and my Father will love him. Do you know that the prodigal son, the Lord was making me know, Luke 15:18-20, TPT, that what the prodigal son was coming back towards a home. You can have a home that somebody is in destruction. But the man thought of, my father's home. That is enough for him to say, look at, imagine, can they say this about our home? That a person will want to turn back and will be received. I want to go back home. Did you see this? Yeah. To my father's what? Ah. So there was a home, this prodigal son. Even though they called him prodigal. But there was a home. You see, a minister once said that the real prodigal was our elder brother. That was living in a house that did not even know that all his father had was his. But this one, the real prodigal, this one, he says, I will say to him, Father, our home, people should have confidence on the ability to serve. They say, Father, I have wronged you, I have sinned against you. Read it again. He said, I will never again be worthy to be called your son. Please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees. Even in that home, employee itself has home in the father's house. He said, so the young son set off for what? He set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming dressed as a beggar. And great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son, who was doing what? Returning home. Is my home like this? I want you to ask yourself, have we built homes like this? That somebody will be saying, let me just go to my, when I just go to my father's home, you know, father's household. Let me just go to my father's household. I know. And you see the disposition. You see that this father, even when the boy had physically left, the father knew that he carried home with him. He was watching and waiting for him. The father knew he will come back. You see, when we build home very well, we will not have fear that our children will spoil. We are not giving our children home. That's why we are afraid that when they go and be corrupted, when we give home and we teach home very well, our children, they will go, but you will know that the promise concerning your home is that all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Praise God. Another thing is that we must know that a home must be built and cultivated. Can we say that? Excuse me. Nobody stumbles into a home. A home is not an happenstance. My sisters, my brothers, you know, you can be talking here and your mind, you have pictures of the home you want. You can have all the picture and have, in fact, do the AI, do the graphic. But if you don't allow yourself, firstly, to be built up, if you don't have roots, what will you build? Then you cannot build nada. Can I say that again? You see, it is not enough to imagine it. I know when we watch, you know, TV, you know, there's a way you see this, or you know, sometimes when we do love and love, you see some couples, you know, my dear, my sugar, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. Those are the, you know, the things, the fere. But when it comes to a home, you build, say build. You roll up your sleeve, because the first building is you. You can't build anything if you have not been built up. Now, let's read Proverbs 24:3, Amplified. He says, through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built. And by understanding, it is what? You see why we need to be taught. We see why we need to be taught. That you can build and you also need to know that you have to establish. Are you saying? He said, except, you know, in this building, that's why your root is the root of Jesse. He said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Matthew 7:24. He said, everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. So, your tool, when you are building, you are applying. This is what the scripture is saying. He said, when you hear the saying and you are doing it, then you are a wise man who is building. So you cannot build. You see, you don't build with social media. You don't build with 10 things that every wife must know. You don't build with 10 things that every husband must. It's not like that. You see, those things are good. You know, you can just hear it. But the real thing of building is that you roll up your sleeve. You hear
You apply yourself and you begin to do. Otherwise, you can paste it all you like. Write it in your notebook. Put it, you know, you have your wife in this house, I'm your husband. It is still a labor. Amen. So when it comes to building, and let's read Hebrews 2, Hebrews 3, 4. He said, every house is built by a man. I'm just trying to say that when it comes to, he said, every house is built by what? Some men. But he that built all things is who? It's God. So when we are talking about home and household, it must be built. Say built.
Build.
A job. And to build a house. Excuse me, anybody who has been involved in building, does a building suddenly appear?
No.
Don't you have materials? Don't you even first buy land? Don't you do a lot? Doesn't involve a process? Some of us go and buy land. Go and buy bricks and begin to build. Actually, you start building a home before you get married. Please, the building of a home is not tied to the marriage covenant. It is tied firstly, primarily to the building in you and how you apply yourself to the building of God. You know, a lot of the people talk about dream wedding, my dream home, right? And you know, I've seen social media, when they are painting dream home, they show kitchen with all the gadgets. They show a home with all the gadgets, bedroom. That is not the true picture of what a home is. There's an invisible picture you are not seeing. I hope there's no demon hanging there with malice, God malice, and unforgiveness. I'm just trying to say, because the social media will tell you my dream home. And what it shows you is, you know, is a building. It doesn't show you the workings of a soul. It doesn't show you forgiveness. It doesn't show you love. It doesn't show you long suffering. It doesn't. You understand what I'm saying? So please, dream home, dream wedding, dream this. It's not like that. Me and you, as people that are professing that God is open our eyes, we must know. You know, we must begin to have judgment. Many times on social media, they paint a home to us, right? Say this one. But behind social media, that is the real home. The real home is not the one that you are liking, that people are commenting. In fact, don't be deceived by even the videos, some of the videos they showed you. The real home is the state of their souls. You know, some people do content, even as a family, under duress. Because of money. Laugh for the camera. You know, it's interesting. Of course, in recent times, you have seen the whole lot of YouTube family life. Everybody is filming their family life, filming their children. Do you think, have you thought that when we see things like that, ask yourself, what is the aim of this? Answer the question. Can it remain here? Minus gain. It is also to propagate false narrative to people. Excuse me, you will now start seeing people, oh, couples goals. If you cannot see your couples goals in the word of God, if you don't have eyes to see couples goal, that they may be one, it's a couples goal. It's not social media that will tell you it's couples goal. Couples goal, the family, and some of us, in your mind, you create it. Then you now want the man, come here, come and wear and go with me. Oh yeah, come, let's why? Gosh. They create false expectation. They create false narrative. I'm not saying that some of them are not good. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you see, the social media is good and evil. That's where, let me tell you, knowledge of good and evil is one of the things that we are going to wage against. It's not evil. You know, so are you saying, social media works as we are now? We do YouTube, we do Instagram. Even me, I have social media pages. So social media has its good and its evil. But we are the people, we don't shy away from the world. We have judgment to know how to use it and to know the boundaries. There was a man of God. He's a very known man. He's not a Nigerian. He said, when he began to have issues, with fornication, you know, young man, a person, a big assembly, suddenly he began to have thoughts. I had a very large social media followership. Influencer pastor. So they were following him. You understand? And you know, every time tips for the day, you know, when you say it is good, Abby, that it is good. He said the first one, when he knew that there was a problem, was when the thoughts of immorality hit him. He was like, where is this thing from? He just, And then he said the thing continued. He said the Lord told him that actually, if you did not come to me to seek for help, you see the way you have influence, that's the way you will be disgraced. You see that influence, you see, it's not only you that would have also been about me, my ability to raise awesome servant of God. The Lord told him what to do. He said, number one, go and shut down your social media page. You wonder that how is that correlated? He's a man that is even sincere. He has not had any issue, but already he knew that if an opportunity happens, and the Lord told him to go and confess to his wife a sin that you're about to sin. He has not seen it. Those are the two instructions the Lord gave him. He said he shut it down. He said initially he was like, how can you tell me to shut it? You know, he struggled with it because, you know, when suddenly you are being influencer, pastor, young pastor, oh, preach it, you are everywhere, and they are telling you to shut down, you go and think twice. You know, he said he was doing staggering. Then another time he woke up again. The Lord said, oh. He said there was no even answer. You know that answer? You know that I've told you. Answer at Iwa. It's just that, you see, there is a ditch not for you to jump inside. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, what am I saying? That a home is built. Say a home is built. Haggai 1:7-8. He says, thus saith the Lord, God of hosts, consider your ways. Go to the mountain and bring what? Wood. And build what? The house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I'll be what? Glorified. So God wants us to go and get wood and things and fetch to build our house. God wants to take pleasure in our homes and be glorified. Lord, let's now, the other thing I wanted to also mention here is that home building is the core of the family. Can we echo it together, church? The primary responsibility of a family is to build a home where God can dwell. Can we say that, God's people? Every activity, every decision, every interaction should be carried with the consciousness that you want to build a home, a godly habitation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you are doing chores, you are building a home. You see, the attitude at which you do chores. You know, some of us, we do chores, but we are grumbling and murmuring. We live in households, our heart is not aligned. You see, there's a consciousness that every action, every inaction, every interaction is towards a godly home for the Lord. You don't understand. It means that in your home, you might say that I'm not living with brethren, I'm not living with the nigga, I'm just living. Even when you are living with yourself or even with your natural family, please know that God wants, through your action, God wants to have a ladder to be able to reach that home.
Yes.
I live in a home, all of them, they're ungodly, they're all this. You be the ladder. Let everyone know that at least we have somebody in this place. When they are looking for, we have somebody. Let angels be able to say, we have somebody here. Even where it's like, it's everywhere is that. You know that this king's daughter, she grew up in a household of wickedness. I told you guys, the household of wickedness. When they say wickedness, she was the one that saved King Josiah. Jehosheba. So Jehosheba, let me explain her relationship so you will know. Jehosheba was the stepdaughter of Athaliah. Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Her father, she was the daughter of King Jehoram, a wicked king. I'm just saying, all around that Jehosheba, evil. When they say evil people, evil. You understand? Evil. That was what she was. She was constantly exposed to. You know, have you read what King her father did? Jehoram, evil. But you know, she saved her nephew, King Joash, from Athaliah. I'm just trying to say, she was the only princess that is recorded that she married a priest.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that you can be in a household that is full of wickedness. You know what I'm saying? People might feel like my household. But go and read this Jehosheba. If you read her story, you will be wondering that God can preserve somebody in the midst of darkness. Yoruba will say, Inu ikoko dudu, ni ikoko fufuti jade. That is, so you know that pap, echo. You know, Agidi. Wait, you know the pot they used to make it very black. But yet it's coming out from that pot and it doesn't have a stain of black. So you can be in the midst of a dark generation. God can raise you. This princess, she was raised. I'm telling you, all around her, oh, father, oh, everybody, evil people, evil that evil is a Bible who calls them as evil. That God can use you, even in a home, to actually be the ladder to reach that home. So, firstly, home building is the core. Say core. It is a core. It is a spiritual assignment for every believer. Say spiritual assignment. You, whether married or not, home building is a spiritual assignment. You see, when it comes to family life is not only tied to whether you are married. Family life is for everybody. So what we say the love seal home. Can we read this together? It says, a love seal home is a spiritual habitation intentionally built for the pursuit and expression of our faith, our hope, our eternal purpose, and inheritance. It is a dwelling place where God's presence, love, and purpose are central. Say central. So, this is the mandate for Love Seal Homes. And so, Love Seal Household. Now, let's read the household. A household, which is a household, refers to what? The collective unit of family members and brethren living together under one roof. Every household should reflect the values of Love Seal Home, a place of spiritual growth, accountability, love, and divine purpose. In actual fact, every household should be a home. Every household should be a what? And I want to ask you, is your home a place for spiritual growth? Do people come into your home and they regress? They are not growing. Is the home set up in a way where souls don't thrive? Let me tell you, when we are doing, maybe apart from marriage anniversary, we should be doing family anniversary. So that, what you know, when we do marriage anniversary, what do we celebrate? Is it photo shoot? Is it that we were living formerly in one bedroom? Now we are in now a duplet? Is it that formerly we were one, now we have junior and princess? Is that what we celebrate? Is it a celebration that see how pastor was thin, now he's fat? Is that what we celebrate? No, we celebrate change. We celebrate transformation. So do you know why even our anniversary is not that we are marking. It's not, you know, when people say anniversary, it's not that because we want to say, oh yeah, come and see me. Because, you know, many of us, the same thing with your birthday. Birthday is not only photo shoot. We can say that there have been a journey. So as a household, we should be able to say that, last year, oh, this is how this sister and brother was. But this year, we can account for change. Last year, she could not share. She used to do korobi. But this year is better. Last year, our degree in terms of keeping malice, you know, has reduced. This year, we had more of our smiles. And we can even show her the picture as proof. See, in this picture, you're smiling. Previous year, come on. Last year, you know, those are the things as households we must look at to say, please, our home, we should be able to give ourselves to say that, we are changing. You are really changing. Because the real place, many times people say, I am not changing. The real people that will tell you are changing is members of your household. They're the ones that will tell you that, you have changed the way you used to be angry. Even they can know. Before, they could not touch your things like this. They know that Shango is going to, they'll just be war. But now, they can even the people said that are doing it are like, I hate it, my girl. You know, some people, you can't touch their bed, for an instance. You know, there's some people like that. Their one thing is this bed, though. They can share everything, but you see this bed? There's a way. But you know, you have learned tolerance. You have learned, that's what we say. So while every home must be able to allow a place for spiritual growth. Say growth. We can accrue and we can measure growth. The real place for growth is family. When they teach us doctrine anywhere, you hear doctrine, God, you know, we have to do charity. You know, that's why the place of your discipleship groups and the family, the household is very important. Where you practice it is in your home. Where do you learn patience and forgiveness? It's not your home. Even what they teach us, let's try it safe. Let's just be trying things on one another. Know that everything is staying in your head. Let's try things. You know, that this thing, they've taught us this, let's even apply it in the home. The place of growth. And that's where we can now say, this brother is growing. Say, this brother is growing. You know that as a sister, or a brother you want to marry, we will ask members of your household. Because we cannot live with human beings that you are not married to. How much more do you want you are married to? If you are still so self-centered, how now? You know, we say that, you know, some people, when they get things, they will colobe it. Nobody will know. Their thing is their own. But other people's thing is our own. The same thing with husband and wives. Growth, accountability. Who are the people that can account for your soul? You know, I say there's this bad nature that young adults always have. Where are you going to? Momo. Where are you? I'm coming. Where have you reached? Momo. See, that thing used to annoy me and anger me. It's, even if the person you see is one child like this, tell the person that I'm going this place. And they now call you. Where are you? I am coming. See, that I'm coming thing. I have issues with it. Because it just shows that you don't have accountability. You know, a few people, I felt that they used to have issues with when you ask them, where are you going to? They felt it was an insult. It's not insult, it's accountability. Am I not adult enough to be able to go where? Who is talking about your adultship? We are talking about your keeping here, man. If anything happens to you, we die and suffer. You know, if you don't learn accountability easily, the thing that will teach you accountability, you've not seen some people that all of my ancestors will carry for months. Now, there was a guy now. They carried him in Ikorodu. He went to buy bread. And he told the people in the house, Mombo, bread. Do you know where he was? Jeba. I'm telling you. You know, when they found him, people was, you know, the person too was arrested, but somewhere there, that was how they were able to locate. And he has, by that time, he has spent 9 months. So, you know, when you don't learn accountability, things like that, we just teach you what? Accountability. So, home is for accountability. It's for love. And also what? Divine what? Purpose. Praise God. Okay, so, in actual fact, every loves you home and household, please, if your home is not supplying spiritual growth, go and look at it. If there's no accountability, love. At least, before we get to looking at accountability, let's explain it. Let's be truthful. Let's know that the accountability is you understanding oversight. You know, some husband and wife, so they can't even tell their husbands or their wives where they are. Your husband does not know where you are. Your wife does not know where you are. The same thing with money. Do you know how many money are stranded in banks that spouses cannot access? Because there's no accountability to say, and your family is suffering. A lot of money are in banks that the family are suffering, but banks are enjoying. It's not even there. The banks are using it for their business. After a while, it becomes government property. Please, accountability is something that every household must do what? Must practice. May God come to us in our households in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.